Beams of Darkness by Sam Gabriel. From Thanks for Playing. Read by the author. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey and Clutch. Chapter 3. Pass Me a Napkin. B passed Terezi.
My name is Terezi Pirate, and I am paying for my crimes. I stand tall and erect, with my head thrown back and my eyes open wide as the light fills my body, fills my soul, fills everything that I am and will ever be. The light bathes me, redeems and purifies me, feeds the fire in me that consumes only the regret. Somehow I'm certain it's permanent now, that I'll never again have to come here, that I am the last iteration, the ultimate me. I wonder if that is why none of us ever before took the place at the center, but gathered around it like worshippers waiting for God. I drink in the minds of my flock, and I am pleased.
Clearing the tears from your eyes and the teal from your mind, you bask and you breathe. And the hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of iterations of Terezi Pyrope that fill the forest around you breathe with you in a majestic chorus. All of them are you, and all of their minds are yours, and you realize now that this is not a forest, but a forge, her forge. You are the iron in her fire, and she has made you mighty. Each successive time you came here, you were bent and beaten and flattened, first twofold, then fourfold, then eightfold, then 16-fold, 32, 64, and again, and again, and again, and the result is you!
No. Not you. Not exactly. The result is Terezi Pyrope, 5 sweeps old, who at this exact moment is falling to the forest floor in a dead faint, unaware of just how aware she already is of the multitudes that her mind will contain, the degree to which she already is you, because you are already her. And you look into that mind and see within it the afterimage of blue that is no afterimage at all. It is a memory of the last sight she saw in her dreams. Skaya, your co-author. You can't believe you ever thought you knew anything about anything before.
Okay, enough self-congratulatory messianic hoofbeast manure. Who are you, the sufferer? You've got some metatextual brainstorming to do, and that can mean only one thing. You follow John into the sidebar for a good old-fashioned slumber party. Your name is Terezi Pyrope, and you will never be alone again.
Be present, Naya.
You guys, something is totally going on!
What an astute fucking observation, Uncle Rebecca. Your name is Kanaya Lalonde, and you are indeed the literal worst.
My name is not Rebecca, and I'm not your uncle!
Yes, it is, and yes, you are, and something is always going on.
Call Becky what he wants to be called, Kanaya. Even if he is being fucking dumb.
Thanks, Sass!
I agree with Becky, Niall. Something fucking weird is happening.
You always agree with him, Mituna, even and especially when he is fucking wrong.
But why else would they send us all to Swifers on me and Zaz's birthday?
Lots of reasons. An unexpected meeting with the provisional government. A surprise inspection by Minister Borden. Some issue or other involving anything our mothers do all the time.
Mom said it was just work.
And even then, human mother and troll mother could simply have wished to engage in activities unsuitable for the delicate gander bulbs
shut
of...
Shut up.
Yourself will not make it less likely, my dearest brother.
Okay, fine, fuck you, but when do they do that?
All the bloody time, Mituna.
And before a mushroom.
A what?
A mushroom.
Hee hee, ow!
Fucking shut up.
I don't care what you say, Naya.
Then why are we having a fucking conversation, then?
I can smell danger! Come on, Zaz, I know you do too.
Okay, fine. Mom did seem a little worried.
A lot worried, Zaz.
Yeah, a lot worried.
Which one?
Both of them. And Slifer's stressed out too.
Peanuts, get your peanuts here. Popcorn, candied apples, peanuts.
As you and your brother, who you are not related to, and your two best friends, who are related to your mother, humans are so dumb and weird, head with you to the food block, you have to admit that they all have a point. You can hear it in her voice. Swiffer is really stressed out.
B passed Teresi. So here's the situation, as you lay it out, to John and Jane. You need Vriska. Skaya needs a new universe. And in fairness to Skaya, so do you, so you have that in common. But Skaya also needs Lord English, for no other reason than that Lord English is already here. He's a time loop that has to remain stable, because that is how things work. Skaya can't change that, and you can't change that. And it's mostly a solved problem anyway, because Skaya has a whole gamzy on the Lord English case, and like you said before, he's really good at it, but if you think about it, and that is so much easier for you now, making Lord English isn't most of the problem, it's only half of the problem. The other half is killing him. And if you have learned anything at all in your approximately 47,000 attempts at stopping it, it is that Vriska Circuit will always fight Lord English, so Skaya needs her too. Now, you don't have a clear picture of what happens when they fight. You've tried going along. It never goes well. You literally always die, and fast. When you stay out of it and just watch, it's too confusing to make any real sense of. But you're sure that she wins? Sometimes? Enough times? It only needs to be one time. One is all you need. One is all Skaya needs, but the point is that Skaya only needs that one Vriska for as long as it takes to make a new universe, and then she's yours. So how do you tell that story? It's more complicated than it looks, even for someone with your powers, even for someone as zoomed out from everything as you are now, because your powers don't extend beyond the door. That's not what they're for. They're for making new universes. If you have a door at all, you have served your purpose. Your powers have served their purpose. But your powers aren't all you have. The mind is about motivation, cause and effect, what this character will do next. And that's great. It's really super useful. But that isn't the only thing you know a lot about. You also know about not so much the capital M mind, but the thinkpan, the brain, as the humans call it. People's personalities, their tendencies. They are people as much as they are characters. You have to remember that. And they don't stop being people just because the story is over, and that means they don't stop being characters. And you don't need your powers to predict these people, these characters, really, really goddamn well. So the question becomes not, how do you tell that story, but what kind of story should you tell? And as an addendum, how long a story should you tell? Skaya and Lord English have both proved, well, are still in the process of proving, that it was, slash, is possible to tell the same story over, including scratches, 5 different sessions of the game. Even with seers that can't see past their doors, even with players that don't really know what the fuck they're doing, Skaya will get its new universe, and in that new universe, Lord English will be born. If Skaya can do that, if fucking Caliborn can do that, then you certainly can do something similar, just to get Vriska back. After all you need is one person. That's all you need. So what story gets you what you need? John gives you a better question. What does Vriska need? And Jane gives you the answer. Vriska needs to save the day. So all you need to do is give her a day to save. Oh, this is going to be so much fun.
Be present, Jake.
Would you please just leave us alone?
I could do that if either of you would fucking listen to
me. You want me to listen to you? Tell me something that makes sense, then, Jake.
Or better yet, don't do that. We are busy
doing something you should not be doing.
That's not your call, Jake.
Tuck, I am not wrong about this.
No, shut up. Rose, in command. Fair. Latula, tiresome, but also fuck it. Fine. Now you? Who's next? One of the kids? The fucking cat?
I think you respect me a bit more than the fucking cat, Duck.
Why is Jake English, of all people, telling me that we shouldn't rescue Jane Crocker?
It might not even be her!
Teresi has cloning technology. Has that occurred to you?
Yes, it has. And aside from the question of why Skaya would send Rose a vision of the wrong Jane, she was too old to be a clone.
How could Rose possibly tell that from looking at her? I haven't aged a day in 40 years, and neither of you!
She looked as old as we should look. Older. Haggard. Decrepit.
She... you hadn't known that part.
But then...
but then it can't be our Jane, Dirk. Our Jane was a god tier.
I think the right stimuli could do that to any of us.
That's a pretty big assumption to employ here. And what does it matter if it's our Jane? It's Jane. Dirk, Jane is just someone we used to know.
His eyes bulge. His fists clench. The muscles in his arms twitch.
What the fuck are you talking about? Dirk, I know it's... I'm not saying I don't care, but Jane was our friend 50 years ago. And she still haunts me to this day. Just ask Swiper, but that's my point, Dirk. I know what it's like to think you're looking at Jane Crocker. And to feel things you shouldn't feel. Why is everyone so damned eager to risk everything for her?
Because it is Jane.
And everyone who is suffering because of Teresi Pyropy has to be saved right this instant? We've liberated the human kingdom, have we?
The human kingdom isn't suffering.
Bullshit, Dirk. The troll kingdom had the bleeding factory at its heart. And we didn't know that was there either. Who knows what horrors Crocker Corp has inside it, or any number of places that we don't even know about.
Oh, but she has Jane now, does she? Oh, now it's pressing, is it?
It is a question of motherfucking operational scale, Jake. We are planning the liberation of the human kingdom. We have been planning it for years. The troll kingdom took decades to liberate and cost countless lives. And that was after we spent years planning those ops. This op will only risk our own lives.
And those aren't important at all. Nothing hinges on our lives. Certainly not the well-being of millions and millions of trolls.
That brings him up short. Because you have him. And he knows you have him.
Except what? What the fuck is going on?
You're the Prince of Heart, Dirk. Why can't you look at this situation dispassionately?
And you're the Page of Hope. Try fucking having some. It's Jane.
That's the point, Dirk.
I can't.
The gravity well of his shades seems to tighten his brow downward and pull his lip up into a curl.
What the fuck happened to you, Jake? You have one bad day and just like that your nerve is gone?
Which one bad day are you referring to, Duck? There are a number I can choose from.
Get out of my war room. One more word about this and you're off the mission. And maybe that's what you want. And maybe I'm past giving a damn. Either way, screw your head on straight before I see you again, or I will rip it the hell off your shoulders myself.
Eyes. Despairing. Dead.
Okay, belay that last. Dirk, you are out of line. Give us the room.
With an almighty snort, Dirk recedes into a side chamber of the war room, likely taking years off of some poor troll tech's life through sheer weaponized awkwardness.
Jake, I appreciate your concern or whatever, but the well-being of millions and millions of trolls is my business, not yours. Whether we will or will not go on this mission is Rose's business, not yours. Shooty, shooty, bang, bang is your business, and you're super good at it. And would you pretty fucking please see to your business and get the wiggler stabbing fuck out of my war room? The briefing is at 1500 hours. You will be there.
You storm out of the war room and into the corridor. Well, you probably flounce or some such embarrassing nonsense. You're not great shakes at storming, especially not after the broadside that Dirk hit you with, a salvo so heavy, so cruel, that it left him wide open to you. He is hiding something. He is hiding something big. And frankly, it is depressing how easy he thinks you are to manipulate. He wants to talk about heads, fine. You can go over his. Damn the torpedoes. Full speed ahead.
Be past Teresi. The rise of Teresi Pyropy, ultimate seer of mind, took approximately 150,000 sweeps. The rise of Teresi Pyropy, supervillain, takes much, much, much longer than that. It gets really, really, really complicated. See, the thing is, you'll need a lot of drama to make waves intense enough to pull Vriska in from the flotsam of a spent session, to make a spotlight big enough that she won't be able to resist stealing it, that Skaya won't be able to resist putting her there to steal it. That means you'll need to plan for proper narrative build, for repetition that solidifies the characters of the piece. Because for most of the run of this story, its roster of characters will not include
Vriska Circuit. So as much as Vriska needs someone to be a villain to her hero, you need someone to be a hero to your villain until Vriska gets there. It's a big choice, but come on. It was only ever going to be one particular someone. She's perfect for a lot of reasons. For starters, you don't like her, and you never did. So she'll be easy to pit yourself against. Further, she has so many flaws to exploit, so many strings to pull that she'll be easy to pit against you. Her class is a wonderful thematic correlation to you, and both her aspect and her Lucis issues are wonderful thematic correlations to Vriska. But above all else, no one, but absolutely no one, but not one single solitary person in all of Paradox Space holds a grudge like Rose Lalonde. How to make her hate you, though? Like the right kind of hate. Because if you know anything about Rose, it wouldn't take much for her to wax pitch for just about anything with a pulse, but... No, wait, no. Hold on. You're missing something. Jane points it out, that little super sleuth. If you're the Seer of Mind and you have John, and you are always going to have John, then Rose can't possibly beat you. You don't want her to actually beat you, of course, but Jane's right. It's absolutely essential that Rose be able to beat you. If she can't, if it isn't even possible, then Vriska won't have a spotlight to steal because Skya won't care enough to shine one. Well, fuck. Is it your fault you're so fucking powerful? Maybe Skya should be less picky if it's going to... No. There has to be a way to do this. There has to be. You think back across all your previous journeys through Paradox Space. With your perfect memory, it is so easy to do, like flipping through a book. You sniff and sniff and taste and sniff until your sniffer is seized by one smell in particular. You almost missed it, too. You almost missed her entirely, because even if she hadn't been swallowed up by that massive, idiotic dream bubble ghost scrum that you only bothered to attend a few hundred times while gathering information on Vriska, you wouldn't have known she was even there. If not for someone next to her saying her name. Because you couldn't see her. You could smell her, of course, but you couldn't see her at all. Well, well, well. You twirl your cane in your hand. It looks like there was another version of Red Glare who made something of herself.
Be present, Becky. Your name is Becky Harley, and you are having such a good time. All right, so it's probably a mission. So what?
So aren't you tired of never knowing what's going on?
I'm tired of your fucking Jigglypuff.
Bitch some more, tuna fish. That'll make that punch land.
If this was real Smash, I'd be sweeping all of you.
When it's your birthday, you can choose which Smash I kick your ass at.
And this is so real Smash.
Roll is not real Smash.
That is fucking Lucario.
Not dignifying that.
In fairness, Becky, this one also makes all of my characters' clothes fall off when I do a super move, and I find that just a bit fucking problematic.
Oh, so it's the patriarchy's fault I'm winning.
The patriarchy has its hands in many a devious pie.
Your mom is the head of the entire military. And doesn't your other mom play that one game where all the girls fight with their tits out?
Yes, and she plays as the one who doesn't.
Now, Uncle Dave literally can't beat her when she's Nicole. He's been trying to for like 20 fucking sweeps.
Which one's Nicole?
The one who doesn't have her fucking tits out.
The one who looks like Master Chief, Bucky.
I thought that was Master Chief.
You fucking dope.
Fuck you, tuna fish.
So, Naya, you never answered my question.
Which was?
Aren't you tired of never knowing what's going on?
Of course I am.
Becky? Tuna, how about you?
Duh!
Fucking duh.
What are we meant to do about it?
Zaz flicks her ears around for Swiffer. So you do the same with yours. You both stop on the rhythmic sounds of her mopping the kitchen again? Well, fair enough. Whatever passes the time, you guess.
What we are meant to do about it is nothing. Be good little boys and girls. Stay in the dark. Stay ignorant. Spend me and Becky's birthday playing fucking video games. But I have a better idea. Want to know what that is?
So the thing about your sister is that she doesn't really have ideas so much as she has plans. You'd even go so far as to call them plots.
And to be fair to Zaz, she sometimes has good plots. Well, good isn't the word. Successful is the word. And you do know that each plot begins with a smaller plot, a pre-plot, and that plot is to get everyone else on board with the main plot. Her pre-plots are almost always successful.
But if the amount of times she has gotten the two of you or the four of you into very, very deep shit with your parents is any indication, they're almost never good.
We are gonna sneak into the war room.
Oh, this is such a good idea! B passed Terezi.
It's such a good idea. It's such a good idea. It's the best idea you've ever had, and you're going to tear your fucking hair out because Skaia won't do it. It won't give Wrangler to you, to the good guys, to Rose, to whoever. Skaia doesn't care about her. She's too minor. Too minor? She's the only person in this entire universe who can defeat you, and she's too minor. You're the main character, goddammit! But Skaia just isn't interested. Nothing you do works, and even if you knew anything about this version of Wrangler, which you don't because you can't fucking see her, and she seems different enough from even her own alpha self that you just don't get her. Anyway, even if you did, even if you could entice her to leave the furthest ring, there is a strong narrative inertia that surrounds ghosts. And that makes sense, really. If ghosts got themselves involved in events all the time, it would be chaos. Just ask fucking Arania. Fuck it, how did she do it again? Well, she forced the issue, until Skaia had no choice but to let the ring fall into her stupid lap. But Wrangler can't get the ring anyway. Roxy's dumb matesprit whatever needs it so she can make that dumb black hole whatever that's so important. Well, Skaia doesn't really need Calliope for that. Any space player would do, really, with the right motivation. Wait, did you say matesprit? Roxy's matesprit. Rose has a matesprit, too. And she has all of those issues. About an underbaker's dozen of screechy, annoying honk birds all line up in a row right in front of you. And in your hand? Well, would you look at that? One stone. Well, not one stone. It is, but it's made up of, well, a lot of little ones. You're gonna need some supplies, is what you're saying.
One supply run in the future, but not without some papping first.
Look, shut up, okay? You've been under a lot of stress. It's not like this is the only really, really, really complicated part of this plan. You're authoring an entire secondary narrative on top of the one that gets everyone, well, not everyone, but the right portion of everyone to the door. There are so many moving parts to this. It's a lot of work. And you just needed to talk things out with someone who wasn't wearing a tiara for once. Well, not that kind of tiara. Look, shut up. And not that you told her exactly what you were doing, just how it was making you feel. You have feelings. You have a lot of feelings. Why are you even talking about this? Work to do. Important work. If all of this is going to go off without a hitch, you'll need to have everything lined up perfectly for the final go-round. One thing you've realized is that, well, your infinite redos, they aren't infinite. You aren't sure if it's the retcons or something to do with the tiara, but John isn't looking that great. In ways that Jane can only partially compensate for. It's okay. Plenty of juice left in the boy, but you do need to be careful. He's your friend, after all. You've got her inexhaustible commodification on the case, because again, she's had her own best friends before, but, well, even she isn't inexhaustible, that is. She isn't going to trust you forever. She doesn't really trust you now. The weirder your requests get, the more she side-eyes you. And if you're honest, this whole supervillain thing, it'll need an operation just like this one. Exactly, precisely like this one, in fact. And you'll need to be in charge of it yourself without going through this whole song and dance. Well, maybe some of the dance. Just until you get Vriska back. You ask her for one last tiara. A blank tiara. This one you'll need to program yourself. Well, you say yourself.
Be present, Jake.
We can't die, Latula.
Oh, that is hoofbeast manure!
To paraphrase Dirk, that doesn't mean that it isn't true. Please just fucking listen to me, and I will tell you why it is true, my dove, my darling sweet angel, my precious pale flower that blooms in the night. Fine, okay. Terezi Pyrope has made herself the villain of the story that Skaia is telling, that she is telling through Skaia. We don't know what that story is, or what ending she has in mind, but we do know that it requires all of us to be alive. Dirk and I weren't sure at first, but
We go through the door. Find out Terezi's taken over our new home. Start fighting her. 2 months go by and Nepeta dies. After that, 45 years go by. Nothing. Sure, we die in training sometimes, or you know what you and I do, because that isn't heroic or just. But we never die in the field. Because in the field, it always would be. Every time we go out there, we are being nothing but heroes, so every single resurrection would require a gambit as complex as the one Dirk pulled off almost 30 years ago with Jade. So instead, resurrections are just never needed. And that doesn't make any sense. Jade would have missed a bullet. You would have missed a mistake. Some kind of freak accident would have occurred. Our powers aren't perfect because we aren't perfect. Dirk's right. Terezi needs us, all of us. If for no other reason than the fact that we all need each other, and Skaia needs her. Somehow. For some reason. So Skaia needs us. Which means that any time any of us dies, really dies, that timeline is no longer canon, just like that. Now tell me, Latula, does any of that sound like a mistake to you? Fucking Jigus, babe. Does it sound like a mistake? This isn't me trying to win the rhetorical point, Latula. I genuinely want to know if you think Dirk and I are wrong. It's a lot of fucking words, but I don't think so.
You think it sounds like the most sensible thing you have heard anyone say in decades. You also think it is something of a small miracle that Latch hasn't sensed your mind outside the door to Lalande Hive, but fair play to her, she is probably just a bit distracted by her own mind being blown apart.
Fuck. So if you're right about that...
And Rose is right. She is absolutely, completely right.
Then the mission... What'd you name it, by the way?
Operation Latchkey.
Oh, that's sweet.
For certain values, indeed, flavors of sweet, yes.
But it's not a risk. Like Dirk said, it's not a risk.
But that's wrong. That is completely wrong, and you want to scream because you see exactly what just happened, and it was so convenient. All of this is so familiar.
And of course, the same applies to Terezi, one would think. If we can't die because Skaia needs her and she needs us, then she certainly can't die either, one would think. But Dirk thinks that Terezi's control of the narrative has become conditional. And that condition is the continuation of her own life. Jane was an invitation to us, storm the castle, save the girl. Slay the dragon.
Not Game Girl!
No, not Game Girl. Latula, Terezi.
Terezi's a troll.
Dragon as in a great evil to be slain at the point of a hero's sword. I am, incidentally, that hero, and you are my sword. That sounds sexy. It is. The point is that when Terezi Pyrope dies, her narrative dies with her. But until that moment, we are invincible. And that gives us a narrow, specific, and pivotal tactical window.
That is right and wrong at the same time. You don't know what you even mean by that, but you do mean it with all of your soul. You do mean it. All of this is so familiar. You realize your hand is still raised to knock on the door and must have been poised there for some minutes. You lower it very, very slowly. You back away from the door. Very, very slowly. You begin to understand something very, very slowly. You can't quite articulate it to yourself, and that means there's no point whatsoever in even trying to articulate it to Rose. If Dirk wouldn't listen to you, Rose certainly wouldn't. All of this is so familiar to you.
Be past, Terezi. It's time. It's finally time. You and John and Jane and her increasing circumspection have worked so hard for this for so long. And the fact that it's all going to pay off, it's overwhelming. The logistics are overwhelming as well. So many interlocking pieces, so many plans for the future, so many potential scenarios to account for, but you can handle it for as long as you need to until you get some more help later on. You do love making new friends. You give John and Jane a big hug each and wave goodbye. John needs a little help from Jane as he climbs through the fenestrated plane, but he's holding up okay. More than enough margin for error. You do one last inventory of your Silodex, or is it the other way around, kiss your cane for good luck, and climb up the ladder one last time. Since it's a special occasion, you give yourself a proper Pyrope send-off. A five-sweep-old teal-blood troll twists in the breeze among her scale mates. A 150,000-sweep-old goddess cackles, cracks her knuckles, and starts kicking dominoes over. Nepetalejon stands up to acquiesce a hack and joins the red team. He breaks off their Moir allegiance in a fit of pique, but the things she says to him about blood stay with him for some time. When Tavros Nitrum flees from Vriska Circuit's quest cocoon, Terezi Pyrope appears to take his place, facilitating the Thief of Light's ascension at the point of a dragon-headed sword. Terezi Pyrope, citing nascent Seer of Mind abilities, is able to guide client player Karkat Vantis to his ascension as the Knight of Blood, and is about to turn her attention to other players when the reckoning begins. Jack Noir's rampage through the Incipisphere leaves less rubble than one might ordinarily expect, but no one notices this, least of all Aradia Megiddo, who ascends as the Maid of Time, but never emerges alive from the furthest ring. As meteors fall in a new universe, Dave Strider stands on the roof of his apartment, staring at the blood on his broken sword and feeling nothing. It was an accident. It was an accident. Vriska Circuit's substantially cooled interest in Tavros Nitrum is reignited in full when she finds him dead at the foot of a flight of stairs. He had been warned. He had been told. Terezi Pyrope, her trusty Moira, leads the investigation into this heinous crime. Eridan Ampora is found soon after, and Feferi Pyxes, in all her grief, vacillates from flush to pale with Selic's captor. Kenaya Mariam decides not to hatch the Maitre Orb on the meteor in light of the escalating violence. Aqueous Zahak stands up to the High Blood, and holds his own long enough to be pounce-rescued by Nepetalejon. A retreat is forced, a Moir allegiance rekindled. Romances in all four quadrants blossom over a 3-year voyage. But the wicked cannot be found, and their demise remains unorchestrated. It drives Terezi Pyrope to distraction, Rose Lalonde to drink, and Vriska Circuit to pale infidelity. It's okay. It'll all be worth it. One sweep into the journey, Nepetalejon tracks her way to a hidden chamber in an unused section of the meteor, containing a transportalizer with the controls destroyed. On its massive platform sits a slab of Prospecian stone, engraved with the sigil of mind. On top of the slab, the words,
"Let the games begin, Troll Winston Churchill,"
are written in indigo next to most of a still-cooling body bordered in chalk. Smears of long-dried teal blood can be seen beneath both letters and corpse. Terezi Pyrope is nowhere to be found anywhere on the meteor. Neither is Aqueous Hack's head. During the search, all of Feferi Pyxes is found, piece by piece, with a line of chalk around every single one of them as well.
Be present, Jake. This is so unfair. You are being so terribly, horribly, fiendishly unfair. This is just like you. It is just so utterly and exactly like you to do this to someone. You knock.
Who's knocking?
You open your mouth and a tiny sort of apologetic wheeze tumbles out of it, barely reaches your own ears.
Zaz, you heard a knock, right? Right. Hold on, let me see what the fuss is about.
She opens the door. Well, look who it is. His wife, I'm terribly sorry this was a mistake, and I'll leave you to—
Relax, mister. I'm just pulling your leg.
You're not angry to see me.
Why would I be?
Is that a trick question? She steps outside and lolls her head at you. staring in smirking challenge under a quirked brow. Inside the hive, Zazerpan's ears whip back in irritation as the door swings shut. Swiffer Eggmop crosses one ankle over the other, settles her weight against the doorframe, hugs her arms around herself in a poem of body language that you lack even the most basic conversance in. You know, I don't turn tricks, English. Better than most. The wince rolls through you like a small wave. She laughs a bit sheepishly.
Sorry. You're too easy.
Unlike me, of course, but golly, mister, what do you want from me? Yelling? Screaming? We were Splitsville, what, a sweep? Sweeping halfback? What am I still going to be mad about? Well, in my experience, everything? Half a century at least.
English.
Not all of us live forever. And remember, I'm a jade blood. I didn't survive closing day and the rainbow riots just to hold a grudge against some sweet kid who dunked for diamonds in the wrong place.
Even you know about the rainbow riots, and of course you were there for what the trolls call closing day.
Eyes despairing, dead. Blood on your knuckles.
I'm not that sweet.
What you are is a friend, and seeing as how you thought you were committing murder just by knocking on my door, you must be in one heck of a jam. Spill.
To fill the silence of your hesitation, she mouths, "The mission?" At you. You mouth back, "Yes, and why are we doing this all of a sudden?" She puts a finger up on each side of her head and eyes the door. "The bark beasts," she clarifies. And you both move a bit further away, but the door opens.
If you need to talk about secret adult stuff with Grandpa, we can just go feed Jasper.
She is probably hungry, you see.
Zazerpan elbows Naya in the ribs. There's probably some significance to that. Some child socialization thingamy or other. You don't know. You never saw another child until you were 16.
Yeah, that.
Swiffer draws her face into some sort of expression or other, and then nods.
Get back soon.
They file out past you. And not one of them makes eye contact with you on the way, which is for the best, really.
Okay, mister, come inside and we'll have a talk.
Swiffer, I really must be clear in this that my intentions are strictly non-romantic.
English.
My quadrants are full right now.
Her laugh shakes her head back and forth, hair swirling in lazy sine waves as she steps inside her hive.
Now come on in before you say something embarrassing. I mean, where will we be then?
You follow her. She pours you a drink.
I couldn't possibly. I've just come from the briefing. We leave in less than an hour.
She shrugs and downs at herself. You blanch.
But aren't you watching the children? You see any kids right now?
Not the point.
Troll, remember? Whiskey, just a nice taste and a funny feeling going down.
Oh, right.
Gee whiz, you really are out of it.
Talk to me.
Well, I can't tell you the specifics, of course, but Swiffer, I believe I have, at long last, found a source of hope. And it terrifies me.
Be past Terezi. Meanwhile, on the other side of a universal scratch lurks Dirk Strider. And what an interesting little motherfucker is Dirk Strider. Interesting and dangerous. You considered him. You really did, for the role of your arch-nemesis. Rose was too ideal in the end, with that perfect mix of manipulativeness and manipulability. But Dirk, he's one of the only people in any universe who scares you. You have seen him do some shit in your time, and it's been a lot of time, and it's been a lot of shit. Rose could convince herself of a lie until the sun went out. Dirk could make the lie true. You've seen him do it. It comes so close to the kind of awareness you walked through hell to achieve that you almost declared him too much of a risk to allow into your scenario. But the truth is, a risk is the opposite of what he is. He's not unstable, you're unstable. Rose is unstable. Dirk is a pot full of angst and inertia that's been simmering for eons and will simmer for eons more. You just need to know how to keep the lid on. And as Troll Joseph Campbell would put it, every hero needs an ancestor, or for humans, a dad or whatever, a mentor. Rose especially. Rose needs Dirk Strider, which means you need Dirk Strider, which means you need a cage to keep Dirk Strider in. And you build it with such a simple retcon.
Jane was really eager to help with this one. She's a go-getter, that Jane. All you do is make sure that when Dirk and Jake date, it goes just a bit worse than it did originally. Just a bit. But worse enough that Dirk needs someone to blame for it. He still blames himself, of course, but he also blames his younger self. And when a pair of anime sunglasses falls through the thick atmosphere of the land of tombs and Krypton toward, no, Colonel Sprite, you are there to catch them, your smile voracious under your gas mask. You put the sunglasses on.
GC.
Hey there, buddy.
GC.
Sorry about your bad luck, huh?
TT.
Who the fuck are you?
GC.
Someone who knows.
TT. Knows what? I'm not in the mood for
GC. That it's hard. Giving everything you are to someone else who just throws you away.
GC.
That it's hard. Becoming something unrecognizable to yourself, but still somehow staying exactly the same day after day, year after year.
GC.
That it's hard being a kid.
GC.
And growing up.
GC.
Growing too big for your own eyes.
GC.
But being trapped inside them anyway, and no one will let you the fuck out.
GC.
It's hard.
GC.
And nobody understands.
GC.
But I understand.
TT.
Who the fuck are you?
GC.
My name is Terezi Pyrope. And I have a business proposition for you.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is .413 Repeating, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.